First of all, what went through my mind is how stupid am I to actually volunteer for this.
We're Cindy and Sarah, two old-time besties, inviting you to come hang with us for a drink and a chat. Cover all sorts of topics from our lady parts to what it's like to be single in our 40s and literally everything in between. Most importantly, though, we pair each conversation with the perfect cocktail and lots of laughs. So grab yourself a drink and buckle up.
It was unbelievably painful.
Okay, so what do you want to talk about today?
Well, we've had, it feels like the last couple of weeks have been kind of stressful.
Yeah.
With everything that's been going on. So we're just going to have kind of a easy breezy, casual conversation today.
Little girl chit chat.
Going to have a little chit chat, you know, with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
We're going to have a drink and or two and ask each other a bunch of weird and random questions and get into some really interesting conversations, I think. Well, we'll see, I guess.
We will see how this goes.
Yeah, but hopefully nothing too serious, just a little bit of randomness.
Yeah, keep it light and airy and a little bit silly. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, I do have a cocktail to go with. Obviously, with our conversation,
yes,
as we do. This one is called the Chatty Cathy.
Nice.
Yeah. I was trying to find like chit chat, you know, Chatty Cathy. And it's really good. So this is made sort of like a martini. It is 2 ounces of grapefruit flavored vodka, 1 ounce of Saint Germain. So that's the elderflower liqueur that we love, and a large splash of sparkling water and lime. It's really, really simple. In a cocktail shaker filled with ice, mix your vodka and Saint Germain, shake that up with ice, pour it into a martini glass, and then splash in your water, your sparkling water, and then top with a squeeze of lime. Super simple. I made mine a little bit more like a cocktail. Like I put it over ice with a little bit extra water. So it's a little more like a drink. Do you know what I mean? Than a martini, but super, super tasty either way. That's a Chatty Cathy for you.
Perfect for today's conversation. Hey, Saint Germain goes well with everything.
I fully agree.
In fact,
sometimes it just goes well with my tongue.
Right.
Like, I just drink that.
Yeah, straight.
Yes, it's delicious. Like,
tell me something that it's not good with. That's
I can't.
Exactly. That's my challenge. That's my challenge for the people.
Putting it out there. Challenge you to find a drink that doesn't work. Okay, well, this could get a little bit weird, but let's just say if you're mixing it to make a cocktail of any kind, it's delicious. Like I wouldn't throw it in
pickle juice. No.
No, I wouldn't. Now I feel like we have to experiment. Like we're going to have to do like a Saint Germain experimental situation and just try a whole bunch of, I mean, we've definitely done quite a few cocktails that have it.
Oh yeah. At least once a month our cocktails have Saint Germain in it.
Yeah, for sure. But maybe we need to get super wacky and try it.
I mean, I'm down.
Challenge accepted.
I have some random questions and I also have some random would you rather.
Oh,
so
no.
We'll kind of go back and forth between that and see what happens.
And these questions also will go back to you, right?
Well,
like you're going to answer them as well. This isn't an interview. Correct?
I mean, we'll see.
All right, all right.
What is one body part you could live without?
Oh.
It's tricky, right?
My spare tire? Does that count?
No.
Like if somebody was going to chop something off?
Yeah, like say, you know, you're about to be serial killed and they're like, well, I won't kill you, but I'm taking away a body part.
Oh, God, this is a horrible question. My baby toe.
We just started.
I know. This is like brutal because I don't want that body part to think that I'm taking it for granted either.
But I
would say
give it up. Like I wouldn't think twice about it.
I don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't I don't want that message to go through my bod. But I'm going to say like a pinky toe. Is that just like taking the easy way out?
Kind of. I wonder if it means like if you're picking toe, then it's all your toes.
All of my toes. Wouldn't you fall over if you didn't have any toes?
You might hobble a bit, but how would you wear flip flops?
You'd wear flip flop. You'd only flip.
All right. Kind of the easy way out, but really, what else are you going to say? when I read the question first, I was like, maybe an ear? But then I was like, no, because how would I hold my glasses on?
Oh my God. That's where you're at.
To wear like a monocle.
Not that the fact that you just have this gaping hole in the side of your head, but you're like, my glasses would fall off.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be a hole. Maybe I could do like, instead of an eye patch, I would have like an ear patch.
An ear patch? Yeah. It still wouldn't help your glasses. No. You'd have to tape them on one side, take them under your head, Velcro or something.
If you robbed a bank, where would you hide the money?
I feel like I would bury it somewhere, probably. And I don't know if it would be like forest or field or somewhere with a huge amount of property that wasn't my own. So someone else's property, but like they wouldn't know it was there either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I would go, hey, dude, can I just bury something on your land?
Yeah, totally.
I would just, yeah, for sure. Show me where it is.
I'll supervise.
Yeah, exactly. I'll grab my shovels. I think maybe I would probably do something like that. That's literally right off the top of my head.
Okay. So I looked it up.
Yeah.
And there were two very popular suggestions.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one says you can put your money in a plastic bag or envelope and then tape it to the bottom or inside of a drawer.
Okay. Well, if you rob a bank, isn't it going to be quite a bit of money?
Well, you might need more than one drawer.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Like, how many dressers do you have? Like, if the police walked into your house and you have 17 dressers, they might have questions.
That might be a red flag. Okay, but the next one says, take advantage of your kitchen for hiding money. The freezer is one of the safest places for that. Put your money inside an ice cream container or tape an envelope with money behind the refrigerator or any other appliance.
I could see the behind. That would make sense to me. I think that if you robbed a bank, I think the freezer is a totally reasonable place for someone to look for it.
Do
like
you?
For like the cops to look. Absolutely.
So they've already Googled it.
Yeah. They already read the same thing that you read.
Right.
So
they know to look there. Okay.
I think if you're just hiding money.
Yeah.
To do that would make sense. Like if you had a chunk of money and you're hiding it from, you know, your kids. I don't know. Maybe don't put it in the ice cream. Yeah, like if you just – or if you're concerned about a break-in and you have cash, then putting it in an ice cream thing in the freezer maybe. But I feel like people use the freezer.
Yeah.
I don't know how safe it would be. Behind appliances though, maybe.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you robbed a bank, you can't put it anywhere in your house. They're going to find it.
Yeah, I think so too. Would you rather have fingers made of carrots or eyes made of grapes?
Fingers made of carrots.
Yeah, obviously. If you have eyes made of grapes, you can't see at all.
You can't see. At least carrot fingers you can sort of use.
Probably. They're still the same shape.
I mean, if you like snap one off or a rabbit bites your finger off, does it grow back? If it does, then you're fine.
Probably
if
not.
If it's like a one-time carrot, that might be tricky.
Right.
But even still, I think I'd still do that over grape eyes.
Yeah, same. Would you rather turn into a bird or turn into a fish?
Bird.
Yeah, same. Fish would be cool too, to like live
underwater.
It'd
be super cool. Yeah.
But I think I'd rather flying, fly. Yeah.
Heck yes. Agreed. No brainer for me.
So far, these would you rathers have been a no brainer.
Yeah, so far. I know it'll get tricky.
Okay, let me find a good one. Oh God. Would you rather eat a whole stick of butter or drink a whole bottle of ketchup?
Oh. Wow, that is difficult.
Yeah, that's gross.
I would prefer the taste of the butter.
But a whole stick
of it? But I don't know if
I
could stomach it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So would it be easier to stomach the ketchup than it would the butter?
I don't know.
I don't really like ketchup that much.
Vinegary, right? Like acidic.
Yeah. But butter's fat.
Uh-huh. Right. Yikes.
Maybe the butter.
I think I might do the butter too.
But the butter, imagine chewing it.
Ugh. Which cartoon character would be the easiest to fight?
I don't even know cartoon characters anymore.
What are some cartoon characters? Well, like SpongeBob, Fred Flintstone, Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
Bob's Burgers.
Anyone on Bob's Burgers? I'd fight Gene. Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, because he'd like run away. What about like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo? Because he's probably high.
Could probably take Shaggy down. What about Mr. Burns from The Simpsons?
Oh, yeah.
That's who I'd fight.
Yeah. He's old. And he's snap a dick, right so enough. You wouldn't feel bad.
Right.
Yeah.
It all works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snap him right in half.
Plus, he's a cartoon character, so you could just erase him probably. But
that's true.
Whatever.
Which color tastes the best?
Orange.
Oh, that's a good answer. Thanks. It's like, I don't know, but that's a good answer. All right. I found an article called Can You Taste the Color? What we taste is profoundly influenced by what we see. Similarly, our perception of aroma and flavor are also affected by both the hue, i.e. red, yellow, green, etc., and the intensity or saturation of the color of the food we drink and consume. Change the color of wine, for instance, and people's expectations and hence their tasting experience can be radically altered. Sometimes even experts can be fooled into thinking that they can smell the red wine aromas when given a glass of what is actually white wine that has just been colored artificially to give it a dark red appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Our responses to color in food and drink aren't fixed but change over time. For instance, a few decades ago, marketers and cultural commentators were telling anyone who'd listen that blue foods would never sell. Roll the clocks forward a few decades, though, and we now have Cool Blue Gatorade, Slush Puppy, and the London Gin Company all successfully promoting blue drinks. A Spanish company even launched a blue wine in 2016. Given the rarity of this color in nature, it is normally introduced solely as a marketing ploy to capture the attention of consumers by standing out on the store shelf. The problem often comes later, though, when people actually get to taste that eye-catching drink. Seeing a transparent blue color will put a certain idea in the consumer's mind about the likely taste. And if the expectation doesn't match up with the reality, the manufacturer may well have a problem on its hands.
Yeah, blue's a tricky one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of blue food.
There isn't. And it does bring you to that, like, it's fake place.
Yeah. Seeing the color yellow-green may evoke taste sensations of sourness. Pink may evoke sweetness. Seeing the color gray may evoke olfactory, which is smell, sensations of smokiness. We all have some degree of synesthesia. However, a person with a strong sense of synesthesia senses stimuli different from a quote-unquote normal person. For example, to the person with synesthesia, a color might have a taste, a sound might be felt, and a food might be heard.
A food might be heard?
Yeah.
I wonder what lettuce sounds like.
I don't know.
That is interesting. Right? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I totally get that, like, a color, like, you can associate a color with a taste. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The rest of that is pretty different.
Right. Interesting. All right. Would you rather have overly large feet or really small hands?
Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live skit with Kristen Wiig?
Oh, my God.
She's got those super tiny
yes.
hands.
Oh, my
that's what
God.
I'm thinking of.
Yes. Exactly.
So, like, really big feet. Mm-hmm. With normal hands or normal feet with tiny hands.
Right.
I think big feet.
I think so too. I feel like you could hide them a bit better. Like, it's not as obvious.
And I feel like having tiny hands would just make things more difficult.
Right. Like, right? Imagine trying to cook a meal.
Exactly. That sort of thing.
Right. Or hail a cab.
Right. They wouldn't even see you. What if you were into sports? Like, you couldn't really do much.
No. Feet sports.
What if your boyfriend had a tiny penis and then your hand made it look gigantic, though?
Because your hand's so tiny?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it would make any penis look gigantic.
It would. But who does that benefit?
I was
not
just going to say the same thing. What do I care about that?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Agreed.
Right.
I'm more concerned about my dinner.
Okay? You're right. Exactly. I mean, let's talk about what's more important here. What's happening daily.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, if you have big feet, maybe you're a good swimmer. Or maybe
you
just have great balance. Yeah, maybe you're good at yoga because you can do everything on one foot. I don't know.
Right. Look at you, glass half full.
This whole time I've been looking at my feet and my hands. Like,
yeah. Trying to imagine what it would be like.
Totally.
Which fast food mascot is most likely to be a serial killer?
Ronald McDonald.
Why? Because he's a clown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I can't really think of other ones, so maybe part of the problem.
So I have a list.
Oh, okay.
The greatest fast food mascots ranked.
Ooh.
I'm not going to go through all of them because we don't know all of them. Some of them are American. But long ago, somebody realized that perhaps the best way to entice you into a drive-thru was to park a not at all discomforting clown outside. Ever since, the fast food mascot has been a huge part of our culture. But not all mascots are equal. That's why we've taken it upon ourselves to rank the most mighty mascots of all time, based on their general appeal, demeanor, and ability to make us hungry. Grimace. So we're going in, like, not great to the greatest.
Okay.
I'm not exactly afraid of a giant, vapid, sloth-like, pansexual, seemingly stoned eggplant thing, but not knowing where to kick the thing if it got handsy is disconcerting nonetheless. It's literally just a blob.
If it got handsy.
A purple
handsy.
Blob. If. Chuck E. Cheese. So whichever boardroom full of Wharton graduates thought a rat with fingerless gloves and a neon t-shirt was a good idea needs to take a field trip to their treeless suburbs municipal skate park and brush up on what youth culture is up to these days.
Because they think rats eat cheese.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they're like, right?
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah. You know? So, but still.
The Taco Bell Chihuahua. You remember that one? Yo quiero Taco Bell?
Yeah, totally.
I'd contact the local health department immediately if I saw someone's rat dog running around my favorite Taco Bell location. However, seeing him inspire millions of Americans to defect from burgers and aim their hunger for freedom, doused in sour cream at the revolutionary gift from heaven that is the gordita, makes my heart swell with pride. I've come to expect all Chihuahuas I encounter in the wild to be harbingers of fast food liberation. But alas, they're usually just annoying little turds.
Okay there, guy who has a favorite Taco Bell location.
Right. And knows all the mascots.
Right. So far, though, none of these actually make me want to eat any food.
No. The Hamburglar.
Yes.
Credit the Hamburglar for at least working the upsell and making you inhale McDonald's burgers, but only because the Hamburglar's presence elicits an instinctive response to cram your cache of burgers into your mouth before he gets his greasy hands on them.
He could be a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, he's already a thief. He steals
exactly.
burgers.
Like he's already in the danger zone.
Exactly. He's a criminal. Know.
He clearly hangs out with bad
yeah.
burgers. Whatever.
Oh my God. The Arby's oven mitt. Do you remember that? It takes pride.
That is the least creative thing I've ever
heard. It's so bad. Like, you should see a picture of it. It's so ridiculous. It takes pride and conviction to sell roast beef while offering up your own smiling face to get scalded while removing said beef from the oven. I admire the oven mitt's gumption, and I would definitely hire him to help cater my wedding. I imagine he would oblige since he's been unemployed for quite some time now.
No doubt he has.
An oven mitt. Oh, my God. Do you remember the Noid from Domino's?
Oh, yeah.
Avoid the Noid. Domino's Pizza stopped blaming this endlessly scheming claymation maniac for its bad pizza, instead launching a whole ad campaign about how it used to suck, but now it doesn't. I admire that kind of honesty. But I'm even more excited by its tireless pursuit of foiling this little bugger's plans to make your pizza cold and floppy before it arrived at your door. Little Caesars. It's a scientific fact that Americans love pizza. Guess what this diminutive titan of industry is packing? Pizza. Lots and lots of pizza. Sweet, sweet pies that are ready to roll out of the heating box and into your mouth as soon as you'd like. Little Caesars is an anomaly in that it rebranded by giving up pretense. It simply slashed prices, promised to give you exactly what you want, that when you want it, and kept that lovable little guy with the toga as dumb and happy as he's been since day one. Pizza, pizza. Yeah, man.
I don't think he's a serial killer at all.
No. He's a fun guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a party guy. Wearing a toga.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
He's part of a frat.
Yep. And then we have Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
Definitely a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Ronald is without a doubt the most polemic fast food mascot. He's friendly and instantly recognizable, but he's also a clown. Most normal people are terrified by clowns regardless of nostalgia. So whether he reminds you of Saturday morning spent watching cartoons and eating Happy Meals or the scariest moments or Stephen King's It is all on you.
There's got to be people out there that don't go to McDonald's for that reason.
Just because, yeah.
They're too afraid. I mean, maybe not now. I guess you don't see him around as much. But I remember when we were kids and you walk into McDonald's, there was these giant Ronald McDonald statues and stuff all the time. I don't know if they still do that.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Like maybe some of the old ones still have them kicking around. And
yeah,
there's a picture here and it has him like beside the drive-through menu, like massive.
Yeah. Like there's got to be kids out there that are not okay with that.
Yeah.
There's some serious clown phobias in the world, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
Wendy from Wendy's.
Ooh, she could be a killer.
Number two on the list.
Oh.
Well, we're not doing, it's not a killer list.
It's not a killer list. No. Right.
They're the greatest fast food mascots ranked. So we're at number two, which is Wendy.
Okay.
Wendy doesn't cut corners in her patty slinging, which certainly has something to do with her Ohio-born establishment being neck and neck with Burger King for the coveted seat behind McDonald's in the cheeseburger chain of command. I wouldn't hesitate in the least bit to hire Wendy as my family's babysitter, personal chef, and maybe even an au pair. She certainly looks like the kind of overachiever who studied abroad and spent a year building orphanages in Haiti back in undergrad.
Yeah, those are the ones that you can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could get away with murder.
Right. Like literal.
I want people to think about this.
Mm-hmm. All right, number one. Who do you think number one is? Mm-hmm. Who are we missing? Who haven't we said yet?
I know. Who haven't we said?
Colonel Sanders.
Oh, blimey, of course.
From KFC. Legendary. No fast food spokesperson is as capable of invoking the gastronomic glory of the foodstuff they're pimping as the Colonel. The mere sight of a distant stranger in a white linen suit makes me crave the juicy runoff of his legendary three-piece meal. Is it wrong of me to assume every friendly old man with a cane and a southern drawl is packing a bucket of original recipe? But the ubiquity of the Colonel admits these past few decades of fast food turmoil has taught me to trust no one else.
Yeah, I dig the Colonel. I'd party with him for sure. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't hurt anyone.
No.
I wonder what his method would be, though. You know how serial killers sometimes have like their signature thing? Mm. I bet his would be to leave like a chicken bone in their throat. Something like that, right?
Something cool and deadly.
Yeah.
All right. Since we're talking about this topic, my next question, which food would make the best weapon?
What about like bacon right out of the pan? Like sizzling greasy bacon across your eyes?
Because it would burn you?
Yeah.
Whap! Or even just the grease. Yeah, it's hot as fuck.
There's stuff that you could make a shiv out of, like, you know, carrots, or you can make little radish darts or something. I can't believe I'm thinking so much about this.
Okay, well, let me read you what I found. All right. The top 10 times food was used as a weapon. As long as humans have existed, we've been trying to kill each other. In order to do it properly, however, we need the energy given to us by food. As a result, the world is naturally full of marvelously efficient individuals who go after two birds with one stone through the power of weaponized food. Raw chicken.
I was thinking like a combat weapon.
Yeah, no, we'll get there. Residential healthcare aide Drew Smith Warner attacked his friend and client with a whole raw chicken, rather than simply clubbing her with a drumstick or something. Police responded to her call, arrived to find her bleeding and surrounded by scraps of chicken. Warner was quickly picked up in a nearby park and booked on suspicion of assault. At least the chicken was fresh, otherwise he might have faced domestic terrorism charges for unleashing a salmonella-laden bioweapon.
Wow.
Poisoned cheese. For the easiest, no-fuss weaponized food, you can't go past poison. With a bit of background knowledge, you can lay low countless enemies. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's surprisingly hard to concoct a properly lethal toxin out of household items when you don't know what you're doing. It's probably even harder when you're a few wedges short of a cheese wheel, so to speak. Such was the case of Tiara Drake, who found herself churning in 5 counts, get it?
Yeah, totally.
Turning in 5 counts of attempted murder after an argument with her family went sour. On May 17, 2013, Drake asked Evelyn Johnson if she could have some of the cheese that was being eaten. Johnson said no, but feel free to have some of the other cheese in the fridge. Angered by this rude display of lactose intolerance, Drake decided that the only way to milk the situation was with poison. And so that night, as everyone else slept, Drake dosed the next day's breakfast cheese with a mix of window cleaner and detergents. Naturally, they noticed that it tasted off. Drake was arrested while poison control advised the victims to dilute the toxins by drinking lots of milk. Even now, people still speak in hushed whispers about the family that got 50 times their yearly calcium intake in a single day.
What a over.
They didn't give her a piece of cheese, so she tried to poison them.
She's like, screw you bitches.
You deserve to die.
Right. Window cleaner.
What the hell? Get over it.
All right. The next one you're going to like. A pork shiv.
Yes. Yes. A bone shiv. Why would I even be whittling a carrot? I know. You're whittling a carrot?
No.
I was literally staring at my fridge door going, what do I have in my fridge that I could use to fight someone with? Yeah, a bone, obviously.
Right. Okay. Not all weapons in a food fight are created equal. Ernesto Hernandez Rosales knew this and so decided to give his food an edge, literally. In 2004, the imprisoned drug dealer settled a beef with a fellow inmate by using a sharpened pork bone as a shiv and going right for the eyes.
Oh my God.
His victim, armed robber Jermaine Portillo, wasn't seriously injured. At the end of the day, Stabby McPorkchop had more time added to his sentence while his victim had a whole new bone to pick.
Yes, that is the weapon of choice.
Yeah, McChicken attack?
Because you'll get food poisoning?
I don't think so. Let me see. There are a lot of different martial arts out there with countless master practitioners. Marvin Termain Hill, for instance, was a master of McFu, the ancient art of weaponized fast food. And in his version of events, it was all self-defense. His wife woke him up from a nap at about 1 p.m., brandishing a deadly McChicken sandwich. Thinking fast, he grabbed the burger and threw it back at her. He followed this up by swiftly retrieving part of the bun and slamming it in her face, leaving a broken nose.
Oh my God.
At this point, his cunning wife viciously went to the bathroom to clean herself up. He followed her in there, recording on a phone camera and capturing footage of her knocking the phone from his hands. He figured this would be enough to prove that she was violently deranged. He was wrong. When police arrived, his claims of self-defense fell on deaf ears while his video evidence was trumpeted by his wife's broken nose. Cops bravely arrested Hill, despite the danger posed by his McFu mastery. These days, Hill has a conviction for domestic violence and a mugshot that makes it look like he's slowly realizing that he should just have eaten the sandwich.
How'd your nose get broken? McChicken bun.
Slammed in my face.
Yeah, that's rough. I knew a guy one time.
Oh,
I knew a long time ago. That, you know, they used to have those crazy, I don't know what it was, like 2-for-1 Big Macs at McDonald's or whatever. I don't know if it was like a coupon thing or what. This is way back in the day. And I knew this guy who totally cashed in on it and bought like 10 Big Macs. Uh-huh. But he had roommates, so he didn't want to put them in the fridge to keep them. So he like ate a bunch and then kept them under his bed and ate them for a week.
Shut up.
Under his bed.
No.
And like kind of became this sort of experiment because they didn't change in how they looked. Like, I mean, the lettuce wilted, right, but nothing else like changed or whatever. But he ate them for like a week. And then after the very last one, got food poisoning.
Oh, shut up. Really? But it took a week?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember if it was 10 or 12 or whatever it was. And they were not refrigerated.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, nothing changed. Ate it, and then at the end got food poisoning. I said it might not have been food poisoning. It might have just been that the guy ate 12 Big Macs.
Yeah, right.
Imagine that, keeping one under your bed for a week. Oh,
that's so gross. Okay, frozen sausage nunchucks. There's something kind of nice about being spontaneous. One spur-of-the-moment decision can take you to unexpected places, like jail. Michael Baker was an opportunistic thief who had just lucked his way into stealing a 10-gallon barrel of bread and frozen sausages. Naturally, he wanted to keep this run of luck going and so decided to try adding a bicycle to the day's takings. To that end, he started beating a passing cyclist with frozen sausage link nunchucks from the food barrel. His victim made the sensible decision to get out of there, reasoning quite rightly that a guy on a bicycle can probably outrun a lunatic with 10 gallons of barbecue goods. Despite suffering multiple lacerations, he made it out in more or less one piece. God, people are weird.
Sausage lacerations. People are so weird.
Mm-hmm. Ascaris on the side. With a bit of common sense and some basic rules, you can probably avoid getting poisoned by a disgruntled nutter. One of these basic rules entails not eating a suspiciously nice meal prepared by someone who's promised to poison you. In 1970, four housemates had plenty of time to consider this while they recovered in the hospital. It all started with a dispute over rent. One housemate, a post-grad studying parasitic virology, was behind on rent. While arguing over this, he threatened to poison their food with Ascaris sum, a particularly nasty pig parasite. The others were less than thrilled with this homicidal intent and decided to evict him. His last act before leaving was to prepare all of them a lovely meal, which he ate none of. Less than a week later, they were all in the hospital with severe breathing difficulties. Tests showed they were utterly riddled with parasites. Ugh. The virologist had to put countless thousands of worm eggs in their food, which took about a week to hatch and wreak havoc. Ascaris usually works its way around the body before settling in the gastrointestinal tract. But in this case, there were so many that they went everywhere, including the lungs. Two of the victims made a full recovery, but the other two almost died and now suffer from permanent respiratory issues.
Whoa!
Police were quick to track down the disgruntled virologist, and in the face of four attempted murder charges and overwhelming evidence, he was quickly acquitted. The judge ruled that all the evidence was purely circumstantial. There was no actual evidence that he deliberately poisoned them. It might well have been an accident or unfortunate coincidence. It obviously wasn't, but it might have been. Either way, there haven't been any repeats of this incident, meaning that the parasitologist has either learned to control his temper or gotten a lot better at murder.
Oh my gosh, nuts much?
That's so gross.
Oh my God, so gross, but totally gross. Got away with it because really, how could they prove that it was intentional? Yeah. But why didn't he eat any of it?
Why did they? Like, they evicted the guy. Why would you eat it?
Especially when he didn't.
Right.
That is wild. People are crazy.
Yeah, people are crazy.
So smart, though.
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm learning a lot tonight about just
random shit
like murder and food.
I know we got more food and murder coming up.
Sounds like a commercial break.
So stick around. We got more food and murder coming up. But maybe let's go to a would you rather. Would you rather have a peg leg or a hook for a hand?
Peg leg.
I think so. That hand hook would get in the way. You'd hurt yourself.
Really hurt yourself. I mean, and others, but wow.
Yeah. Would you rather go 1 year without shampoo or 1 year without toothpaste?
Shampoo.
Yeah, I think so.
I couldn't deal with the tooth, like the a year without.
Yeah, no.
Although I guess you could still brush your teeth.
Just no toothpaste?
Yeah.
That's true. Oh my God. Would you rather poop your pants in public or lick a gas station toilet?
Oh my God. I'd rather poop my pants in public.
Yeah, me too. As bad as that is, a freaking toilet? No.
Those are both terrible options, but oh my God, just the thought of licking a toilet, let alone in a gas station. Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah, so gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Well, all would you rathers are always gross.
Or they're just absurd. Like, come on. Right. It's a test. See how nuts you are.
Are we failing? Or passing? What do we want to be
doing?
How
do you even know?
Yeah.
I don't think you can answer do that one right.
Do we want to be passing or do we want to be failing?
Exactly. What's the goal here? Right.
What is the least attractive sound in the world?
Snoring.
Oh, yeah.
I snore now too.
Do you?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. What else is a not attractive sound?
Barfing.
Oh my God, you're so right. That is the worst. What? Even when you do that. Fucking worse. Oh my God, like you can feel that in your throat.
You're gonna make yourself barf.
You're gonna make yourself sick. Holy cow. Yeah, no, you win that round for sure. You nailed it. Snoring I can deal with. That I cannot.
Okay. So if we're talking about like attractive sounds, least attractive sounds, made me kind of start thinking about accents.
Ooh, okay.
So what would you say would be like an attractive accent?
Italian, British.
The British, Australian, and French accents were deemed Americans' favorites, as well as the accents they find the sexiest. The Welsh, Korean, and South African accents are the least sexually appealing for respondents, rounding out the bottom in that category.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I need to travel a little more, but I definitely like a good British accent too. Mm-hmm.
An Australian? Mm-hmm.
So Australian would be your pick?
Yeah, I think if I had to choose one. I also like when men speak mm-hmm. their language, like their natural language. I can't understand it, but I like that.
Of course. Like, that is super sexy. Yeah. It's so hot when somebody knows more than one language.
Yeah, super hot. I also had a friend send me a text message mm-hmm. in Spanish, but mm-hmm. it was meant for somebody else. And I was like, ooh, that's really hot.
Like, could you just call me and read this to me or send a voice note?
I could have just said, don't forget to pick up bread on your way home.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like,
I saw you picking your nose at the stoplight.
Right. Wow, that's sexy.
It's so true.
Which Winnie the Pooh character do you relate to the most?
Eeyore.
It's me too. Which movie villain... Well, it doesn't have to be movie. Which villain okay. would you go on a date with?
That's very wide open. Yeah. I'd probably date a lot of villains.
Oh, yeah? The bad boys?
Well, it's kind of hot,
yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Oh, my gosh. What does it say here? Why are villains so hot? I think that a lot of the time people will see the bad guy as attractive because it's exciting and because it instills fear. In fact, fear plays a large role in non-sexual arousal. It causes a rush of chemicals that we typically associate with attraction, adrenaline, endorphins, and dopamine.
Makes total sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Not that I can think of one off the top of my head, though.
No? Okay, let me give you a list.
Okay.
I don't know a lot of these. I don't watch movies very often.
Okay.
But there's a few. Let's see if any of these
okay.
spark what's within you. Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Definitely.
Yeah. Billy Hargrove from Stranger Things.
Oh my God, totally. Mm-hmm. You would? Mm-hmm. Really?
He's a bad boy.
Surprises me a little bit.
Well, you would because his favorite band is Rat.
Well, we'd have something in common, right. But no, he's intense and like dirty sexy. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm surprised that you like him because of the dirty part.
Well, it's just a fling.
It's just for funsies. Because I know there's got to be tons. Like, I know there's definitely things I watch and I'm like, the bad guy's hot, but I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
And you're not supposed to like him, but you like him.
Yes.
Because he's hot. Yeah.
And then they always have like a kind of a heartwarming origin story. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they're the villain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of have like feeling for them and then that makes it even sexier.
Right.
Oh my God, this is taking a turn, but it's real.
What about the Joker from Batman?
Like Heath Ledger?
Yeah. Oh, James Spader as Graham Dalton from Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Yes.
Even James Spader from Pretty in Pink.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely would get into trouble with that. Yep.
Yep. Oh, I got one. Oh, this one you for sure. Oh my God, Sarah.
One for me?
Do you know Labyrinth from 1986?
Of course, David Bowie. Because in my mind, he's never the bad guy.
David Bowie as Jareth, the Goblin King.
Adore, adore, adore. Yes.
There you go. You found your villain.
Yeah, I would love him no matter what. I don't even care if he was a serial burger killer.
bringing it back around, are you? Time for a would you rather?
Sure.
Would you rather have a really annoying laugh or bad breath?
Annoying laugh.
Yeah. Well, I already have an annoying laugh. So
you do not. You have a great laugh. And literally everybody says that.
Stop.
Pshaw. Everybody says that you have a great laugh, which you do. No. Not annoying. But you also have really bad breath. So
I have both. Which type of cheese matches your personality?
What, did like that? You're just asking me that question outright?
Yeah.
Or it's not? I thought it was like a quiz or something.
If you don't want to answer it outright, I do have a quiz to find out.
I don't know if I could answer it outright.
Okay. Everyone has a cheese that matches their personality. Here's yours. Okay. So first you have to choose some crackers. So they have like a saltine cracker, a Ritz cracker, the one, oh my God, what's the one that we always buy? Triscuit.
Oh, Triscuits. Yes.
Obviously, I'm going to pick that one because that's the one we always buy.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
There's a couple others.
I couldn't even think of it because I'm so used to it. Yes.
Okay. And then choose some cheesy food. Okay. So grilled cheese, quesadilla, cheeseburger, omelet, mac and cheese, or pizza?
It's a tie between grilled cheese and cheeseburger. I'm going to say grilled cheese.
Okay. I would probably choose mac and cheese for me, but grilled cheese for you?
Yeah.
Done. Choose a type of wine. Okay. Prosecco, Cabernet Sauvignon, Malbec, Pinot Noir, Beaujolais, Pinot Grigio.
Malbec.
Okay. Choose a fruit. Pear, raspberry, grapes, peach, watermelon, apple.
Apple.
Choose a cheesy TV show. Growing Pains, Blossom, Family Matters, Full House, Punky Brewster, Saved by the Bell.
Punky Brewster.
How would your friends describe you? Thoughtful, funny, chill, opinionated, brilliant, extra.
How do you even answer that? Opinionated?
Okay, let's see. Bree!
Stop it.
It's Bree. You have a bit of a rough exterior, but it doesn't take much effort to discover that you're just a big old softy on the inside. Some people might think you're snobby, but really you're just patiently waiting for the right people to come to you.
You know what? That might be pretty accurate. Do you think? Do you think that describes me?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh my gosh, I want to do you now.
Okay, let's see if I can do it over again. Okay, I'm going to pick the Triscuit. Cheesy food, I'll do mac and cheese. Type of wine, a Prosecco. Fruit, raspberry. Cheesy TV show, Saved by the Bell. How would my friends describe me? Oh, God. Yeah, that's hard.
That's really hard. Like, that's how I described myself. I can't say that. I don't know if other people look at me that way.
Right.
People that listen to the show probably do.
All right, I'm going to do funny. Mozzarella. Sometimes you feel a bit shredded and stretched thin, but impressively, you never seem to break. And people appreciate your effort because the end result of whatever you're involved in is always amazing.
Ooh, I like it. Nice. That's pretty real.
Cheese quiz is fun. Which of the seven dwarves would make the best husband? Do you know? I know the seven dwarves. I can name them right now.
Okay, name them.
Sleepy, happy, dopey, grumpy, sneezy, bashful, and doc.
Okay, wait, name them slower.
Sleepy,
okay,
wait. Happy, dopey, grumpy, sneezy, bashful, and doc.
I'm going to go with happy or doc.
Yeah, I'm going to go with doc. He's a doctor.
He might be a douche, but he's a doctor.
Which animal would you like to go extinct?
Oh.
That's mean.
That's so mean. I don't even think I could answer that.
Okay, well, I looked up, like, what animal is the most annoying to see if that would help.
Okay.
Rats. Oh. Rats are one of the most hated animals ever. Many people dislike their tails and can't stand the sight of them. The fear is particularly founded in history and the association with disease and generally are seen as filthy animals. Rats are rodents that actually serve a purpose in the ecosystem.
I mean, I feel like everything serves a purpose.
Yeah.
So I think if you really did want something to disappear, it was going to affect multiple other things.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as I don't want to live with rats.
Yeah. What would you do during the purge? So do you know what this is?
No, what does that mean?
So I have an article called "Is the Purge Real in America? Here's How It Could Happen." All right. The purge is a concept where laws stop being enforced and the crazies of the world let loose and do whatever they want without consequence. If you haven't heard of The Purge, it's a popular film series wherein for one night of the year, people can do whatever they want without the restriction of rules or laws. Basically, for 12 hours, anything goes and is supported by the government due to crime rates dropping, population control, and revenue from weapons and security.
That's a show?
It's a movie. Yeah, it's a series. I think there's like several of them. I don't know how many. Oh, you've never heard of this?
That's terrifying.
Oh, no, it's completely terrifying. Yeah, so this is the concept, right? So 12 hours, you can basically do whatever you want. You're not going to get in trouble.
Ugh.
Yeah. So what if the purge happened in real life? Well, it did. In Espírito Santo, Brazil, where police went on strike and the murder rate climbed by 650% in just 3 days.
Because that's what people want to do when they have the opportunity to do whatever they want is to murder. Right.
Let's take a look at what happened in that version of the Purge and see what would happen and how to survive in real life. In the article, it says, for me, I always like to think that in tough times, people would work together to pull through. I have seen this happen in natural disaster cleanups and flood recovery efforts where communities have banded together to volunteer and help clean up, repair, and share supplies. But that's not all true. And the Brazil Purge was a reflection of the chaotic morals that some people possess. When police in the state of Espírito Santo took a 6-day strike over work conditions and wages in February 2017, it was a sign to many that people could do whatever they wanted with no repercussions whatsoever. In one city alone, just after a few days, there were reported 52 murders, thousands of cases of rape, theft, shops being robbed, vehicles being torched, and people fighting with guns and machetes on the streets, attacking and killing whoever they please. It was an awful scene, not only for Brazil, but for humanity.
As if.
As a response to the lawlessness and chaos, the Brazilian military stormed the streets to retake control from the ungrouped criminals and restore order and discipline.
So that just shows how much the police force there actually is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
To survive the Brazil Purge, many locals stayed in their homes during the entire ordeal. They boarded up their windows, kept all lights off, and sat armed with whatever they had in their house, listening to the screams and gunshots in the streets outside. One of the locals said that things were absolutely crazy and that there were people running around with guns in pretty populated areas, dozens of people stealing from malls, even dead bodies on the streets. Because of the complete lawlessness, schools, parks, and health services closed. This meant that there was no way any injuries, medical treatments, or vaccinations for a yellow fever outbreak, which Espírito Santo residents were battling with. This goes to show that if the purge really did happen, there would be much more at stake than just violence and disorder, as services have to close down. Hospitals, food supply lines, and other necessities that we need every day would have to shut down due to security concerns, which would cripple a city, state, or country months after social order had been regained.
I can totally see looting, like, being the biggest thing. Oh my gosh, but like murder?
Okay, so what if the Purge was real? As far as the film series goes, the Purge is a fictitious civic tradition embedded in America's Constitution by a political party that goes by the name of the New Founding Fathers of America. Their rise to power was during a financial collapse where poverty, crime, and national debt was at its highest. In the films, the Purge is a tradition that benefits the nation's health by greatly decreasing crime rates, unemployment, a strong economy through the purchase of weapons and home security and population control. Now, don't forget, this is only a movie. But what if the Purge was real? While Brazil's Purge was unorganized and started without much notice, the Purge in real life would be quite different. And as an organized and calendared event is something that would allow for more preparation and lead up. What would happen before the purge? If the purge was to happen, in the buildup before it, people would stock up on supplies and protection. This was one of the resounding factors that the film hit on with the purge's economic success. Gun sales and home security purchases would go through the roof in the weeks and months ahead of the event. I have no doubt that preppers would have already stockpiled what they need well ahead of an event such as this, and would be the best prepared to keep their families safe.
Or to go out and murder people. Like, they do all their weapon shopping.
So I guess it depends on who it is. Like, you either get the hell out of Dodge.
Yes.
And, I mean, if it's a countrywide thing, like, you would have to leave, say, America in this case.
Oh, my gosh. That would just...
Right?
Definitely couldn't be a countrywide thing.
Or you would stay inside, right? And board up your windows and all that stuff and protect your shit.
I mean, if you left, you can guarantee you'd come back to nothing.
Yeah. So if a purge were to happen in the country, it would signify to me that it's time to buy a one-way ticket and leave that place until the government sorts itself out. Thankfully, we can all remain assured that an event such as the purge is only going to stay in the movies. But as we have seen in the Brazil purge, similar scenarios can and do happen. So if the purge was real, do you think you would survive?
I'd bail.
That I would totally, what it, I mean, for sure, 100%, try to bail, get out, out to a different country far, far away. But like, what if you can't? Like, what if for some reason you can't leave?
I mean, hard to say, but would board myself up in my house.
Like in the basement, in a far, far corner, away from everything.
And you'd have to have things to protect yourself, mm-hmm. which would be insane in itself. But yeah, you'd have to hide out in the best way possible, because what else would you do? It's not like we're the people that are going to run out and
start causing shit. Yeah.
And like, right. And start hurting people. And we're like, we're not the people that want to take advantage of that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we would for sure have to hide mm-hmm. out and somehow protect ourselves and our families. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I wouldn't imagine if you were alone. Oh, that'd be terrifying.
That'd be so terrifying.
That's a horrible thought.
Yeah. I had no knowledge of this whole Brazil thing until I found this article today. I had no idea. It's up 650%. It's crazy. And that, it, like you said, it's crazy that this is what people think to do. Oh, there's no cops. What can we do?
I'm going
to
take out my neighbor.
Like, I can totally see looting and stealing yes. wherever you can, yes. whatever you can, especially in, say, low economic places.
Right.
But murder? Like, why you gotta murder someone?
I think it would have a lot to do with where you live as well, yeah. right? So, like you said, in low economic places, but also places where there's just a lot more crime in general, or could potentially be without, you know, someone governing it, yeah. right?
Imagine after, like, for 12 hours, it's just craziness and people are dying. Like, say some family members, people you know. And then yes. after that, life just goes back to normal.
How can that just be? Blah, gross. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about a would you rather palate cleanser? Would you rather spend Christmas by yourself or with your family plus all your exes?
Definitely by myself.
Definitely. Don't even have to think twice about that one.
I do not need to think about that. Oh my gosh. Folks. Unless it was like a purge style Christmas, that would be totally different.
10 people enter. Only 5 leave.
Put on your ugly sweater and pack your nunchucks.
Sausage nunchucks.
Thanks for hanging out with us for a drink and a very random chat. So much fun. Please remember, if you're enjoying the show, to like, share, follow, subscribe, and of course, review where you can. Definitely join us on Instagram and Facebook to find out what fantastic drink we'll be pairing with our next conversation. Thanks again. Cheers, friends. Chat soon.
It was unbelievably painful.